Back in August of 2007, I preached a message, Are You Peculiar Enough to Please God? Are you peculiar enough to please God? You know, some people think that being peculiar means you got to be an oddball. But that's not what it means. We're going to discuss that in just a moment. And a couple of months ago, I preached another message called, Are You Ready? Well, today's message is another one of those Where Are You messages. So, are you doing your best? Did you ever stop to think about it? Are you doing your best? I kind of believe this message is maybe a follow-up to a trio of Are You messages. But in the previous messages, we've learned that we are to be called a peculiar people. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it reads, But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. As I was starting to say, this doesn't mean that you have to be weird to be peculiar. You know, and I'll have to say, we do see a lot of peculiar people out there. All you got to do is walk down the streets, especially of any halfway large city, and you'll see some peculiar people. I mean, some are downright strange. But that's not what he's talking about when he says we are called to be a peculiar people. That verse again tells us that we are a chosen generation. I believe this is a chosen generation that we're living in today. He says we are called to be a royal priesthood. We are to be priests unto God. We are to be ministers unto God. And let the world know that Jesus saves. There's a lot of other people out there today saying a lot of other things. And they're trying to steer you away from the fact that Jesus saves. I know earlier in the service, Larry happened to mention Tim Tebow and the fact that they lost. I guess it was yesterday's game. Do you know that there was a whole big group of Wiccans who were praying for Tim Tebow to lose? Because they wanted to be able to say his prayer wasn't answered. But you know what? From what I've heard, maybe the team didn't win, but I think Tim Tebow won. And the fact his message got out. We are to be a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. The United States of America started out, I believe, what was going to become a holy nation, but we're getting to drift away from that today. And we're letting all sorts of unholy things into this world today. And into this nation. I understand that some of the broadcasters are trying to convince the FCC they need to relax their rule on what words can be said on broadcast television. In other words, they want to get rid of all the bleeps. And if you tune through, especially some of your cable channels even, you find that some programs there's more bleeps than there are spoken words. And there's no call for it. Does it make them look like they're a bigger person, that they're more educated, that they're more knowledgeable? I think it makes them look more like they're a stupid idiot. Because that's all they can come up with. They can't come up with any real words. But the FCC is being really hammered on to relax this so that these words can be spoken and all sorts of other things can be on broadcast television. So we're drifting away from being the holy nation. A peculiar people. Well, that word can also be translated chosen, special. We're to be a special people. It can even be translated jewel. We are one of God's jewels. When we serve God, when we follow after God to the full intents of our heart, we are a jewel before God. Did you ever speak of a child sometimes, "Oh, you're my little gem, you're my little jewel"? We are God's jewels. God takes pleasure in us if we're serving Him. He created mankind to start with to serve Him. And if we're serving God, we're fulfilling what God created us for, to serve Him, to give Him praise, to give Him glory. In these messages, we've also learned that Yeshua, Jesus, is coming back. And we need to be ready. Unfortunately, there's a lot of folks out there that aren't ready. But the Bible tells us He is going to come back. And in Matthew chapter 24, verses 30 through 31, it says, "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. All the tribes of the land will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with tremendous power and glory. He will send out His angels with a great shofar, and they will gather together His chosen people from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." The Bible plainly tells us that He is going to gather back His chosen people, those ones that were called His peculiar people. He's coming back for them someday. Oh, some of us may go the way of the grave, but there's quite a few of us that are alive today that are going to go by when that shofar sounds and we rise to meet Him in the clouds. What was predicted in Acts chapter 1 when the angels told the apostles that were gathered with and the disciples that were gathered with, He's coming back again. In the same way He went up, He's coming back. And He's coming to get us someday. So my next question is, are you really doing your best in your service to God? Have you ever stopped to think about that? Am I really doing my best? Or do we treat our service to God like we treat a lot of other things? Some people, they go to work. They're there to collect a paycheck. As long as they get that paycheck on payday, whether it's every week or every 2 weeks or however often, they show up. Maybe. Sometimes as little as they can get by with. They put in as much effort as is minimally required. They're there. They're a body. Or do you show up for work willing to do what it takes to do your job? You know, sometimes doing our job and doing it right takes a little effort on our part. Do you go maybe a little extra mile once in a while? Well, the same thing applies to our Christian life. Are we just barely doing what it takes to get by? Are we trying to make it to heaven, as some people have said, by the skin of their teeth? I know there's some folks that are hoping that they'll make it by the skin of their teeth. I don't know. I never went to dental school. Never studied to be a dentist. Going to the dentist is not necessarily always one of my favorite things. But I go. And so far I have yet to have a dentist tell me that I have skin on my teeth. So if I'm hoping to get to heaven by the skin of my teeth, I'm going to have an awfully rude awakening because there are no skin to my teeth. Are we doing our best to serve God? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, beginning with verse 14, and today we'll read most of this from the Complete Jewish Bible. It talks about a man, and it says in verse 14, "For it would be like a man about to leave home for a while who entrusted his possessions to his servants." In verse 15, to one he gave 5 talents, equivalent to 100 years' wages. To another, 2 talents. To another, 1 talent. To each, according to his ability. Then he left. I want you to know God is not ever going to ask you to do something that is more than the ability that you have. And sometimes we may think we don't have an ability, but God will grant us favor and God will grant us grace and will give us an ability to do certain things. Sometimes he will give us an ability that comes from on high to do certain things. It goes beyond what our normal natural abilities are. But he is not going to say to you to do something that it is impossible for you to do. He's not going to leave you hanging out there over the cliff. He's going to give you that grace. He's going to give you that authority to do whatever he calls you to do. He's not going to put some task before you that's impossible. Now I know when we start to answer the call of God and God begins to speak to our hearts, it may seem to us that that task is impossible. But if God is calling us, he'll make a way. He'll open the doors. He'll close some doors. And it may not go the way that we think it needs to go to get us to that point. But God will give us favor. God will give us grace. But we've got to step out and say, God has called me to do this. I can feel it burning in my spirit that he's called me to do this. I'm going to step forward. And I'm going to... You know, it's stepping out of your comfort zone sometimes. Some of you, not particularly fond maybe of public speaking. How many like to get up and do public speaking? Okay, we got one hand waved over here. Boy, we know who to turn to from now on. Most of you didn't raise your hand. But yet God has put a number of you here who are not particularly fond of public speaking into places where you have to do that. But you step out. And the more you step out, the more God is going to bless you and the more God is going to use you. I know some people find it hard to believe that I'm a shy person. And I used to really be shy. Now, over the last several years, I've gotten a little bit better, you know. But I was never the type of person that could walk into a crowd of strangers and be the life of the party. And I know some of you are laughing now back there, but that's okay. That's the way it was. But as God began to open doors and God began to use me, God also granted me more ability to go out and deal with people when I have to. You know, I would have been happy and a lot of times just to sit at home and read a book. But God moved me out of that. And now I'm able to go to places and I'm able to walk up to total strangers and say, hi, I'm so-and-so and you are. Oh, yeah, you're that guy that likes public speaking. I remember you. You know, God has given me ability that I didn't have or didn't think I had. Has opened doors. Well, the condensed version of this story that Jesus is telling here, we jump down and we find out that upon the master's return, he asked for an accounting of what his servants had done with what he had left them with. So to the one, he had given 5 talents. As he's asking this accounting, the servant says to him, Master, you gave me 5 talents. I went out and I did this, that, and the other, and I now present you with 10 talents. Well, if it was 100 years' wages, that's 200 years' wages then. He did good for him. The next servant comes along, the one who had been given 2 talents. And he says, Master, you only gave me 2 talents, but really I did just as good as the other guy did because I doubled mine as well. And I now present you with 4 talents. The master says, good job. And then comes the one that gave the 1 talent. And here's what he said. He said, well, you gave me this 1 talent. I went out in the backyard. I dug a hole about 4 foot deep. I wrapped it up real good and I buried it. Well, here's what the scripture actually says here in chapter 25, verses 24 and 25. Now, the one who had received 1 talent came forward and said, I knew you were a hard man. You harvest where you didn't plant and gather where you didn't sow seed. I was afraid, so I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, take what belongs to you. In other words, I let my personal fears, I let my personal inhibitions, I let all these things come out, and I was afraid, so I went out and I dug a hole, I buried it in the ground, and here's what you gave me back. But I have really no benefit to you to show for it. Well, if you go on and read the scriptures there, his talent then was given to the one that had 10 talents, or had been given 10 talents, and he says to him, look, you could have at least put it in the bank and drawn interest on it. Well, I didn't think of that. You know, sometimes God gives us an ability and we bury it. We hide it. You know, people who have talents of various types of talents, and we want to talk about abilities here. Not just necessarily money. You have maybe an ability. And maybe you are not the best there is at it. But you can feel sorry for yourself and say, well, let's just use singing for example. Everybody likes singing, and after all, we live just a few miles south of Music City, USA. So we'll talk about singing. And some people say, well, I'm not the world's best singer, so I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to sing in church. I'll sit there and I'll keep my mouth shut. Somebody might hear me. Some of us will make other excuses. But you know what? If you begin to open your mouth, let your voice begin to flow out, God might begin to bless that talent, and no telling where that talent might go. Not everybody starts out a superstar. And you may never get to that point that some people would consider to be a superstar. But believe you me, if you use the ability, any ability that God has given you, you use it with all you've got, God is going to bless it, and God is going to favor it, and most of all then, God is going to enjoy it. He looks down and he says, there's my child. Oh, and I gave them this little bit of talent, and they're doing their best with that little bit of talent, and I love to hear what they sing and what they do because they have done their best with the talent that God gave them. I can remember, and I know for some of you back here, you think, oh, man, I knew this guy was old, but I didn't think he was that old. I remember back when I was a kid, went to church. And I don't, you know, I remember more about church after we moved to California. And I remember this one church we went to for a number of years. The lady there that played the piano, she only knew how to play in one key. And I can't remember now whether it was C or G, but she could only play in one key. Everything else, it didn't matter how good you were at your job of being able to play another instrument. you had to play it in that key that she knew how to play in, you know, and you had to always transpose it, you know. But she did the best she could do with the ability that God had given her, and we got blessed during the song service. In fact, actually, I'll have to say, now thinking back about it, it was during the song service that the pastor got up and started calling people that needed to get saved to come down to the altar, and that's when I went down to the altar, was during the song service. That lady playing that chord. You know what? But the Spirit of God was there. The Spirit of God was blessing because the folks there were using the abilities that they had, and they weren't fantastic musicians by a long shot, but they were using the ability that God had given them to the best that they could, and God was blessing it, and God was using it. And let's face it, there are some folks, if God gave them better ability, they'd be out using it in the wrong place. And I could name names of people that all of you have heard of that started out serving God and singing gospel music. But they were good. They were really good. And somebody heard about them. And the next thing you know, they're not singing gospel music anymore. And the next thing you know, they're not living for God anymore. Now, I happen to know that some of them have seemingly recommitted their lives to God and come back. But some of them haven't. Are we doing our best? Are we doing what God has called us to do? What are we doing with the talents that God has given us? For most of us, it's not money. I don't think we've got any millionaires seated in here today. If you're a millionaire and you're seated in here, I'd like to talk to you after service because you've not been paying your tithes right. No. No, I know there's no millionaires in here. But I do recall going to a church one time that had a special section just for millionaires to sit in. So somehow that doesn't seem right, does it? But it can be other abilities. Maybe it is singing. Maybe it's witnessing. You know, some people can walk up to anybody. Hello, stranger who looks like Mr. Monk here. I want to tell you about Jesus. And for others, please God, this is tough. You know, I get tongue-tied almost when I get cold sweats thinking about something like that, you know. And sometimes, if you can break that barrier sometimes, God will encourage you even more. And you go on. For some people, it's easy. Some people never meet a stranger. And for some folks, everybody's a stranger, you know. What are we doing with those abilities? And do we let other things interfere with us doing our best? And sometimes I think that's one of the hardest things we have to deal with, is we let other things interfere with our doing our best. Today's world, it's easy to find interference. It's easy to find excuses. It's easy to find reasons why we can't do this or that. And it seems like it gets easier. With all the technology we have today, it seems in some ways it gets harder for us to serve God. Because we have all these other things that are now going on. How many of you would find it easy to go to church 7 nights a week? And I see I've got an honest crowd here today. Nobody raised their hand. We'd all find it difficult. There's things that we have to do. situations. Some people have to work. I know there's some people who probably rather be here today than at work, but they've got to be at work. You know, their job calls them to be there. And I know God understands that. But I can remember back when going to church seven nights a week wasn't all that hard. And it really wasn't a century ago. Well, yeah, I guess it was. It was in the 1900s, but not 100 years ago. Okay. You know, a lot of people really find this kind of amusing in some cases, and some find it hard to believe. When my wife and I dated, probably 98, 99% of our dates involved going to church. And we went to church 6 to 7 nights a week. We got married. I got drafted less than 60 days after we got married. And I got sent to Germany about 9 months after that. And then my wife came to Germany, and that was a blessing that God opened up for me, that she was able to be there with me. And we didn't have the ability to go to church except a couple of times a week. It wasn't possible. And I remember we talked. We looked so forward that when I got out, we could go back home and we could get back into this going to church all the time. Boy, did we get a surprise when we got back in Southern California. I can't speak for the rest of the country. I can only speak for what was going on in Southern California. But we found our friends who had gone to church with us faithfully and regularly, many cases 7 nights a week. They were lucky if you got them to go on Sunday, some of them. Others, well, Sunday and Wednesday or whatever midweek service was, that was enough. Are we doing our best? Are we letting other things interfere with our serving God? And I think this is a question that every one of us, I don't care who you are, including myself, need to ask, am I doing my best to serve God? Because I'll be honest with you, there are times that I could find it very easy to say, well, I can't make it to church today because I'm too tired. Or I don't feel good. Or I hurt. And I know there's folks out today that are genuinely sick, and they would be here. They'd much rather be here than be sick. But sometimes we let that also get in the way. I sprained my fingernail here, and I don't think I can go to church because... Yeah, I got a paper cut. Oh, man. I'm in worse shape than I thought, man. I got a broken fingernail and a paper cut. Oh, man. You know, and that sounds kind of funny, but there are people that will do that. They'll find that whatever excuse they can find to not serve God. Well, when we give our best to God, what can we expect from Him? And I know people out there, what's in it for me? You know, run into those people, what's in it for me? I'll do this, but what's in it for me? Well, for those who might be asking that question, what's in it for me? If we give God our best, what can we expect? Well, Matthew chapter 25, verse 21 goes on to speak this same story here. His master said unto him, excellent, you are a good and trustworthy servant. You have been faithful with a small amount, so I will put you in charge of a large amount. Come and join in your master's happiness. Now the King James Version of that read, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." If we do our best, we can expect God's best. Amen. We can expect God's best. With all the talk that's going on right now about December 21st, 2012, and I know we'll probably get this mentioned more than today. We mentioned it in last Sunday's message. We talked a little bit about it. People are going on about things, is the world going to end and so on. I'm not concerned about that. World's not going to end to start with, especially on 21st of December of this year. But the thing that's most important of us is when we do our best to serve God. We do our best to be the Christian, to be the person, to be the church that God wants us to be. It's very obvious. He didn't call us to be a mega church. I don't care about that. I told somebody the other day, we're not that large. But yet, if you want to go by what the standards are for a mega church and the number of people that hear the message every week, we sometimes qualify. It's God. We're doing it to serve God. We're doing the best of our ability, and I'm hoping and I'm praying this year that we can launch out into some more things that will even get the message out even more. Because the most important thing is to let people know about Jesus Christ. Yes. It's not to let them know that they can win friends and influence people or something like that or improve their social skills. It's to let them know that Jesus loves them and that Jesus cares about them and he wants to meet the needs that are in their life. You know, for the almost 20 years that we were on the radio, every broadcast started with those words, sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that he loves you, he cares about you, and he wants to meet the need in your life. And I want to continue to do that today, to let people know that Jesus loves them and that he cares about them. Because there are a lot of people out there in the world that don't think anybody cares about them. But Jesus does. And we as Christians should care about them as well. As you get older, and I know you younger folks here, all of you that are under 50, which, you know, that's great. When we started this church, it was mostly people over 50. Now it's getting to be a lot more people that's 50 or under. And I don't qualify for that latter one. But sometimes as you get older, anybody here do like me? You read the newspaper in the morning and you scan the obituary page. I'm not checking to see if I'm in there, but I just find it interesting. And I notice how many people, they were younger than me. They were younger than me. And some days they're all younger than me, you know, that have died. It's a natural thing. You begin to start thinking about your mortality. You and this body are not going to live forever. Your spirit lives on, your soul lives on, but this body isn't going to live forever. You start to think about that. And I stop to think about, and this is something that I don't care how old you are, you need to think about that day that you meet Jesus face to face. Face to face. What about that day that you think about it? Someday I'm going to stand before him. What do you want to hear him say? Do you want to hear him say, well, there's your Aunt Lucy over there and Uncle Fred over here and Uncle whoever over there? No, that's not what you want to hear him say. You want to stand before Jesus and you want to be able to look him in the eye and you want to hear him say just a couple of words. At least that's what I want. "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done." That's what I want to hear. But to do that, I've got to do my best. I can't take what God has given me and bury it in the backyard somewhere. I need to get out and use it to the best of my ability and the best that God has given me to do it with. And I sometimes wonder, God, am I really doing my best? Because I know I've got footlockers sitting in my garage that have equipment for ministry that we used to do that needs to be used. But God hasn't opened that door again yet. Oh, but the day may come, and if he does, I want to be ready to do it. Amen? Are we doing our best? Well, every head is bowed, even here in this auditorium, and maybe you're listening to me over the internet or by CD or whatever. The question is asked, are you doing your best? Are you really doing the best that God has given you? Are you? Can you say, I have absolutely, beyond the shadow of a doubt, done my best? And I'll have to be honest, there are times even I don't know if I could say that I've actually done my absolute best. But God, help me. Help me to do my best. Help me to do the best that I can with what you have given me to do with. And I know from God's word that if you do the best you can with the ability that he's given you, he will bless you with even more ability. Have I done my best? And maybe you're listening to me by CD or over the internet, and you've listened to this message and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You can live a good life. You can follow the Ten Commandments. You can do all these things, but you need Jesus in your heart. And today is your day. Today is your day to ask Jesus to come into your life and say, Jesus, today I make an important step. Today I surrender my life to you. I ask you to come into my heart, to come into my life, and take possession. Take authority over me. I give myself to you. And if you do that, he'll come in. He'll be with you. You'll be his child. And you can look forward to that day when you'll stand before him and hear, well done, instead of depart from me, I never knew you. Father, I thank you today for your word. I thank you today for what you have done. And Father, I pray that now as this word goes forth, wherever it may reach, that Father, hearts, lives will be changed. And Father, wherever this message is played, that, Father, lives would be touched for your glory. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.